The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountains and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of five barley loaves and left those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him faithfully." Well, let me ask as a question, have you ever tried to get God's attention? "Hello, I'm here." You may be wondering, how can one get God's attention? And many times, we feel we have no need to get God's attention until we are in an emergency situation. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be calling upon God faithfully all the time and any time to praise him, to tell him how appreciative we are for him being in control of our situations. And the same applies to parents with grown-up children. Often, parents wish their children called them more often. And parents are like, "You don't call just to because you want something from us. Call to just to say you are safe and happy." And grown-up children are like, "No call means it's fine." Anyone have had that experience happen? So the psalmist is educating us to realize that the Lord is near to those who call upon him faithfully. Another translation in verse 19 say that the Lord will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. One of the doctors of the church, his name is Thomas Aquinas, once said, "If the highest aim of a captain was to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever. And it is so with us as well. We will be in storms and battles as long as we are in this life. And the Apostle Paul was so right in what he was writing to the Ephesians. He said we need to learn more of divine love. That way we may learn the importance of seeking him all the times and living holy lives. Perhaps today we will learn why we should get God's attention at all times, to praise him for who he is, to seek to be one with him, and not just to because we have petitions to bring to God. Well, I don't want to make it sound like getting God's attention will solve every problem right away. But at least we can develop a solid relationship with God where it will be easier for us to be opened our eyes and our minds to see and understand how the kingdom of God works. And Paul prayed this prayer, and I love this prayer, and I hope that you do too. According to the riches of God's glory, may the Ephesians be strengthened in their inner being with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, rooted and grounded in love. And remember, Paul is writing this letter because there was persecution happening for Christians. And so if you were going to write a letter or talk to someone amidst a persecution, what would you say? He was thinking that they needed to be strengthened and protected. And so I admit we could all use of the inner strength when facing our own storms. So today, when you come to Holy Communion, try to get God's attention by being honest with God. Ask for inner strength and spiritual protection. So perhaps like us, the hearts of the Ephesians were just like us, were in the right place, but they didn't know that they needed to get hold of God's attention every day so that they may remain grounded in divine love all the time. So we need to ask for God's grace and strength daily, whether you wake up early in the morning, whether your time with God is in the evening before you go to bed, talk to God and ask for his grace and strength. And I'm going to ask one more thing. Ask specifically for a divine perspective. Because in this runaway culture, it is easy to lose sight of God's perspective. For example, to the homeless, we see homeless, don't we? The homeless, the incarcerated, the stranger, the sinner, or the offensive, the world's perspective would be, you are canceled. I no longer have respect for you. No second chance for you. Request denied. But the divine perspective would be, repent and return to your adopted father's home. Sit at the table, and you will be given the family name. And that's total restoration. Does it happen often? Maybe not, but it should. It should. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know and to have a grip on what's important. The eternal, not the temporal. You know how much we love the temporal things? The things that we will leave in this world. The things that won't matter in the eternity. But Paul wants them to get hold of the eternal, like the divine love of Christ. And Christ has to be foundational in all things. And the truth about us is that we are often like Cain. Do you remember Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis? Do you remember him, how Cain killed Abel? We are like Cain because at one point when after killing his brother, God told him, so where is your brother? And he responded, am I my brother's keeper? That's what he responded God to say. His brother is not his problem. And we do that all the time. Think about it. We do that all the time. And this worldly attitude is found also in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son's brother. These are my only words. I'm paraphrasing. He says, "I am not my brother's keeper. I don't care. Face your own consequences, buddy. Why should I be involved? What's in it for me?" And divine perspective would say, "I am my brother's keeper. I am here for you. Anytime. And I mean it." And let's be honest. I have no admiration for my enemies. Maybe that's just because I haven't really checked to see that there is anything to admire about them. I know that comes as a shocker for you. But the divine love that this Paul is talking about erases this worldly silliness and provides us with divine view of the situation. Think about it. Cain and Abel didn't cease to be brothers. They are still brothers, even with this tragic loss of his brother Abel. They are related, and this is a reality check for us. The Jews and Samaritans are related, and they are brothers and sisters. And so are present day Israel and Palestine. They are related, they are brothers and sisters. And you know the war and what's happening even today. And so are the Hutus and Tutsis in Rwanda. We are related, brothers and sisters. And so are Catholic and Protestants in Northern Ireland. They are related and brothers and sisters. So we lost sight of this heavenly view somewhere along the line. This divine love that binds us together as a brothers and sisters in God's kingdom through the blood of Jesus crucified. You and I are related. We are brothers and sisters in real life. We may not have shared the same breast milk, but we share the blood of Christ. And to me, that's even more powerful. That's why I suggested we get God's attention. Hello, help me, Lord. Amen.